Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, CEO and co-founder of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we are your HR analytics dashboard that's keeping all you super busy people ops leaders and HR leaders from creating messy HR dashboard spreadsheets. That's right. When you're pulling all your data from all those different HR systems to try to tell a data-driven story about your workforce and you're super frustrated with Excel or Google Sheets or whatever you're using, wait no longer because you now can use Employee Cycle to solve that. Also, that's right. I'm about to say it. Your favorite thing, you can also use Employee Cycle for free. That's right. We connect to some of the most modern HRIS systems, Bamboo HR, namely Sapling. You can just go and create an account for free, try it out. And then if you want to upgrade and pay us some money, then yeah, that would be awesome. But please check it out. So that's enough about me and Employee Cycle because I want to ask you for your help. If you could help me welcome to the podcast, Charlie Gray, who is the president and founder of Gray Scalable. And today we're going to talk about why a small business needs HR. Charlie, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Charlie!
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
Great. So, Charlie, the first question that we always like to ask on the podcast is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
I guess unexpectedly, as many people I know. I studied music and English in college. I fell into recruiting once I graduated. And then, you know, as my career went through several stages after that, I eventually gravitated into a kind of a broader HR role where I still am.
Okay. And if you can just give us a quick glimpse into what you're doing at Gray Scalable, that would be awesome.
Gray Scalable is a consulting business I started about 7 years ago, and we're based in New York. We're now 30 plus people, and we help startups scale, mostly by focusing on their people growth. So we help with recruiting, we help with compensation analysis, we help with management training and other types of interim HR support. We are basically a fully functional HR team helping growing tech companies.
And who are some of the tech companies that you've worked with?
We've worked with BuzzFeed, Bowery Farming. There's over 100 companies now at this point that last year worked with Netflix, which was exciting. Lots.
Awesome. So our topic today is why a small business needs HR. But before we go too deep into that, can you please help us define what exactly is a small business? Because there are so many terms that are ubiquitous around sizing of companies, whether you're in sales and you're targeting a certain size, you might say SMB for small to medium business or small to medium enterprises or mid-market enterprise. There's all these different terms around how do you look at the size of a business. So when you say small business, how are you defining that? Is it by headcount? Is it by revenue? Is it by maturity of the business? What does that look like?
Well, I guess the companies we work with are generally not too small. Like we're talking to companies that are large enough to start to have some kind of organizational structure. So at least 10 or 20 employees, I guess. Let's start there. The majority of companies we work with are, you know, 50 to 150 or so. I would call those growth stage companies. So I think we work with small ones, we work with growth stage companies, and we work with some, you know, some bigger than that are, you know, several thousand employees. But I guess I define a small company as one of a couple hundred or less.
Got it. So let's answer the question. And we'll break this up into a couple different parts of the interview. But I'm sure a lot of our HR listeners and maybe even some CEOs or founders are listening too, who may think of HR as a necessary evil versus something that can actually help their business. So why does a small business need HR?
Yeah, we do come across that people struggle sometimes to understand what the value is that HR can bring to their company. And I think it's a fair question to ask at what size it makes sense to start building an HR team within your company, because most companies won't do that till they get to a certain place where they start to have some kind of problems that need fixing, and that's when they see the need. But I would say any company that has high value employees. So if you're whatever your business is, if the one of the critical pieces of it is the people in the business, you want to keep them, you want to have the best people, you want them to get better at what they do, you want to keep them around. Like if that's a priority to your business, then there's a good reason to have some type of HR person or function or team. Because ultimately the HR person is the one who has the responsibility for making sure that you are getting, keeping, and kind of growing the right talent. A founder of a business is, of course, pretty responsible for the people that work for them, but that's not the only responsibility they have. They have a lot of other competing interests as well. The HR person is the one whose really primary role is to represent and do good things for the employees of the business.
Is there a such thing as bringing in HR too early?
I suppose there has to be such a thing. Like if I was I don't know that I could make a good case to bring in a full-time HR person or even a half-time HR person if you were, you know, less than 12 people, for example. I think you have to be at a place where you start to have to think about management and layers and you know, some complexity within the organization. Because if it's just a founder and a team of a half a dozen people, that's kind of more of a team than a company in the same sense. And I think it's manageable. It's when you start to have other people represent the business, other managers, that's where you start to have to think about how the company's being operated.
That's interesting because I'm sure that there are some listeners that are thinking, I definitely agree with you, Charlie, but there may be a reason for me to hire an HR person a little earlier to actually help me hire those key managers or those senior leaders. So do you think there's any reason where you should have an HR person to help you bring on those people to even have that management layer in the first place? Or you really stick with you should have HR after you have that so that HR has something to manage?
It's a good point. I think that would be a very forward-looking way to look at it, to kind of hire someone who would help you build that right team. I have been in that scenario with a couple of companies that I've worked with where me was really brought in to kind of in advance of that team to kind of help build it and put it together. So I think that's a logical, smart way to proceed. You could go either way. You could also make the distinction between an HR person and a recruiter, which are not the same thing. You could argue that in that case, you just need someone, a good recruiter, who'll be able to find the right people for you.
So that was a great segue into me breaking this interview into three different parts. So let's spend a couple minutes on if you are going to bring in an HR person, what do they do? Then we'll talk about whether or not you actually need an internal HR person versus a consultant like you and or your company, Grayscalable. And then we'll talk about how to measure the ROI or if you even have a good HR person or HR consultant. Sound good?
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right. So you're this small company. You're somewhere in between 10 and 25, or let's just say 10 and 50 people. And you're looking to bring on an HR person. What is this HR person doing?
They would, number one, be learning and listening. They would have to really have a solid understanding of how the business operates and how you operate as a leader and what your expectations are so they could know what their priorities should be and how they should approach their role. So that's the first thing. Second, they should be doing the same with all the other employees of the business to understand what their perspective is and what they experience as the company's priorities and culture, et cetera. I often come into a situation where I'll talk to leadership of a company and hear one thing, but then when I talk to employees who work there that might be a few layers removed, they're actually experiencing something very different. So it's first, I think the HR person's first role is to diagnose what it is that they have. Is it a place that's kind of put together in a healthy way, which has like an authentic set of values that they can work with to start to build programs? Or is this a place that kind of needs some early stage work on thinking through how it really wants to operate and what its priorities really are?
Got it. And within that, should HR be taking cues from the founder or CEO or any of the existing leaders? Or should this HR person be proactively advising and telling the founder or CEO what should be done? Or is it somewhere in the middle where it's give and take?
Yeah, no, that's the key question. It's a good one. Because I think I see the HR, as I said earlier, this person is responsible as the advocate for the employees, but that's not the full scope of their role. they're also a member of the management team. So they're also responsible for moving the business forward and representing the interests of the founder or whoever the executive team is. So they work on both things. And some people can overemphasize one or the other. Some people are too much of an employee advocate. Some people are too much of a kind of a management, a tool of management, so to speak. But the trick is to find the right balance of interests so that you can represent what is meant or best from the leadership team, but also bring back honest feedback and suggestions from the employees of the business. You need to be able to act impartially and across the different levels of the organization in a direct, a truthful way.
Which side of the business do you typically see HR over-optimizing for? Being part of the management or being too much of an employee advocate?
I think people make the mistake either way. I don't know if one is more than the other. Maybe being more of an advocate. I think a lot of people are put into an HR role without fully understanding what the nature of their responsibility is. And it's easy to embrace the employee advocacy role. And if you kind of aren't trained or educated in the other dimensions of the responsibility, that could kind of be where you focus.
Got it. So now you have this HR person there, and maybe they're optimizing on one side or the other, or maybe they're a well-balanced HR person. What should the relationship look like between the HR leader or consultant and the CEO or founder of the company? Are they meeting all the time, or is the HR person talking about everything across the business, or is HR truly and specifically focusing on the people issues? What should this look like, especially for HR people who have never been in a very small company before, and people who are either leaving a big company or a new HR consultant, and then for the founder and CEO as well, so that they can understand what this looks like from their end and what they should be sharing with this HR person versus not, so that it doesn't seem like they're trying to keep them from that elusive seat of the table, which so many people talk about.
Yeah. I would say they need to meet more often than not. Like it's important for the HR leader to really behave as part of the organization and understand all the different parts of the organization and all the people. So if there are, you know, sales focused meetings or product focused meetings that, you know, there may be things that aren't technically about the people, but those are still things that the HR leader should fully understand, because otherwise they can't really have all the context they need to make good decisions or give good advice about the people. So I think it's critical, actually. And this is another place where HR people can kind of fail, is by not being sufficiently grounded in the business itself and overemphasizing just the people in a vacuum, you know, without really thinking about the kind of the ways that they interact and the ways things impact the business. So I think it's important for HR people to kind of get outside of the people zone in terms of their understanding of their business and their ability to represent the interests of the leadership.
HR, or as a lot of companies, especially the companies that you target as tech company, that you work with, that are tech companies, calling it people operations or people ops. And for a lot of these roles now, it's become a lot more complex and a lot more sophisticated to be in HR. Not only is it about hiring, training, retaining, firing, but you also have to have tech skills and understand how to use software, how to make sure that it's not only working, but that it's integrated with other systems. You got to stay on top of benefits and then all the laws and regulations. And depending on the type of business you're in, there may be labor laws that are different or minimum wage. I mean, there's so many things that are happening in society and with politics that are affecting how we work and the way that companies are structured. It seems like there's a lot that an HR person needs to know. So if you can talk about some of the top things that you think an HR person, some of the top traits that an HR person needs to have that's working in a small business, what would you include?
Yeah, there are a lot of parts to kind of the overall profession of people. Some of them can be pretty easily outsourced. You know, some of the compliance, benefits, payroll, a lot of things, you know, there's good partners you can hire to help you with all those things. So you don't really need to hire a person to do those things for your company. And that, you know, there's good ways to solve those problems otherwise. I think what you need in the business as a, you know, regular employee is someone who is a, I think one of their core skills is communication. They have to be great listeners. They have to be good communicators as well, both in one-on-one settings or kind of mediation settings or to an employee population at large, so that they're able to kind of, you know, say things that are relevant to everyone in the right way. So I think communication is probably the critical skill. I think they also have to be good at, well, this is part of communication too, but you have to be good at the at influencing people or advising people well. You have to be thoughtful about different perspectives and be able to put those perspectives together and influence people's behavior. HR people generally are not the decision makers in the organization, but if they can't influence decision makers by, you know, gathering facts and presenting information, they're not going to be very effective. So I guess ultimately it all comes down to being like good communicators and good strategic partners.
Got it. So one specific thing that I would like to ask about, which people are constantly talking about now, is culture. One of the most overutilized words, not just talking about HR, but talking about the company in general. And a lot of times, especially in tech, people are always saying that you need to create a great culture, a welcoming culture, an inclusive culture from the very beginning. And so since we're talking about HR and a small business, I wanted to get your opinion on whether or not you think that it's HR's job to really set the tone for the culture, or is it the founder, CEO to set the tone and for HR to try to make sure that everybody understands it and is living it every day?
I guess my view is the culture exists and the culture will grow whether you actively do that or not. So any founder, any team leading a company is basically creating a culture. And it's basically the sum of their actions. Culture is not about what you say on your website or in your kind of interviews. It's about what you actually do on a day-to-day basis as a leader in the organization. So the HR person's job, I think, is to honestly and thoroughly analyze that and look at it and say, like, are the things you're saying actually reflecting what you're doing? Is that your culture? When I said earlier, you know, you can go to some companies and hear one thing from leadership and a different thing entirely from people a few levels down. You know, is the culture really something that reflects how the organization truly behaves? Or is it just an aspirational view or something that people think is how it behaves? So the HR person's job is to diagnose and to improve and make sure things are authentic. But the culture is definitely created by the people running the business. It's there whether you intentionally create one or not.
Nice. So now let's talk about whether or not, depending on the size of the company or the maturity, whether you should have an internal HR person or an outsourced HR consultant or firm. I'm sure a lot of people are constantly trying to figure this out. And in the same vein, let's also talk about whether or not this could be some different type of hybrid. And so whether you have an internal HR person, but an outsourced recruiting firm, or you have an outsourced HR person, but you hire an internal recruiter, how can you decide throughout all these combinations without wasting money and time to choose the best path?
Great question. I'm a consultant now. I run a consulting business. So obviously I would have an interest in telling you that you should hire a consultant in every scenario, but that's not my background. Until I started this business, I was an inside person. So I had the opposite perspective for most of my career. And I still basically operate with that perspective. So I think the preference for almost any function is an internal committed team or resource. So having a full-time person, a regular employee as a part of the business is the ideal thing for recruiting or for HR. However, the question is volume and also capability. So if you have, a few critical hires you need to make and you're not sure when the next hire would be after that, that's not a reason to hire a full-time recruiter. That's a reason to hire an external resource and outsource that to get those few hires made, because it just wouldn't make sense as a full-time role. So that's a pretty clear example. But you could look at HR the same way. Once you're at a place, and for most companies, I think this is around the 40, 50, 60 employee mark, you see a real need to have a full-time HR person that's doing things. But until you feel that you have that full-time need, I think it's great to have options like us, where you can have someone come in and help out on a part-time basis and help you diagnose, what you need on a full-time role and when that will materialize. That's something we do a lot of. We help people on an interim basis while we help them to kind of nail down and then recruit a long-term person who can take it from there when the time is right. So we also work with companies that have regular full-time HR people, but still bring us in for certain things that they don't have experience with. As you said, there's a 100 things that fall under the kind of overall umbrella of people ops. So nobody's an expert at all of them. So people bring us in to do compensation analysis because that's not what their HR team has experience with. They'll take us in to do certain targeted recruiting things that they don't have experience with. So it's both a question of volume and also, as I said, of capability. So you just got to find the right mix over time to meet the team's needs.
I do want to keep going with this question, but you mentioned compensation analysis, which I think is such a fascinating part of what HR has to do. And I'm curious, is there a stage too early to do such an advanced compensation analysis in the very early stages? And while you're answering this, if you could explain what compensation analysis is for those who may not be familiar with it.
Sure. I guess I'll do the second thing first. When I say compensation analysis, what I mean is what we do, which is to basically take to analyze your actual employee population in terms of each person's job level, experience, and place within the organization so that we can look at the actual underlying structure of things in a fair way that would translate across all parts of the company. So it's first about putting that structure together. And then with that, we use market compensation data against those job levels to see how well you're paying. Like, are you, if a company's paying competitively or under market or over, and also are they paying fairly? Like, are there gaps within the organization, maybe by gender or by ethnicity, like, or by, you know, other things? So are there ways that the company is not paying fairly that they would want to know about? So we look at that as well. So it's really, you know, it's about organizational stuff first, like leveling, and then, you know, applying the market data on top of that. So that's what we do kind of in a short form. But how early, you know, if you're a half a dozen people, if again, you know, like 12 or less employees, probably doesn't make sense to do this because your organization has not yet really, I think, taken shape. It's once you get to a place where you have distinct functions, you have distinct layers, that's when you have to start thinking about it. But I think as soon as you get to that place, which could be around, you know, 30 employees, I think that's probably a good time to think about this because it's so much easier to get things right as you start them than it is to fix them later. If you, you know, for example, here's an easy example. Like if you're overpaying somebody, if you offered them more than market warranted or even that they wanted, you can't ever fix that problem, right? So it's better to, you know, to kind of think about things at the earliest stage than, you know, when things start to break down.
Got it. And then lastly, let's talk about the ROI of HR. If a founder CEO hires a marketing person, you can clearly judge or measure the success of this role by number of leads, marketing activities, etc. If you hire a head of sales or even a salesperson, you can measure the efficiency and the work that the salesperson is doing based off of how much money you're making. Cut and dry, black and white. When you hire an HR person, not so much. And this has been very difficult for HR, regardless of the size, industry, just historically. It's just been hard to measure the ROI of HR. So for the HR person who's going into a small business, how do they look at whether or not they're doing a good job? And to flip it on its head for the founder CEO to understand, yeah, my HR person and or consultant is doing a great job for us.
Yeah, I think... I guess the tech industry, at least, which is pretty much the universe I live in, has come to a greater understanding, I think, over the past decade or so of the value of HR. And I think it is something that can be quantified just like any other thing. You just have to kind of think through what it is that you're trying to measure. So, you know, if you're talking about, like, as you did, those organizations, the people function has a responsibility toward improving the performance of the sales organization. So by hiring better salespeople for that organization, helping them to do that, they can increase sales at the company. By helping to train salespeople or to onboard them more effectively or to provide them with the, you know, the tools that they need to kind of become better. You know, a good HR function could provide like the L&D support that that department needs to improve their performance, and their performance will translate into greater sales. So I think that, you know, HR just needs to think through what it is asked to do and think through how you would measure the result of those, each of those things, and figure out, you know, how to make those measurements happen. So I think it's quite quantifiable. And even if there is, you know, some amount of subjectivity in some of these measurements. I think we're in a good place. And actually, your platform, I think, is a good example of where, you know, people can look to think through what the metrics are, which they can use to kind of reflect their progress and success.
Thanks for the plug. We'll always take it. I appreciate that. So now let's move to the lightning round, which I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous. Are you ready?
Real, random, ridiculous. Okay.
All right. So the real question, do you like to eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
I do not like bread pudding on a train in the rain. No, it's kind of a soggy thing. Not into it.
Oh, Charlie. I thought we were building such a great relationship here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a bad situation worse, so I'm just going to go to the next question. The random question. What is your favorite holiday and why?
Halloween. Because for people who appreciate Halloween, it's a chance to kind of just do something outrageous and make other people laugh or smile or quake in fear. It's it's a fun, diverse celebration, and you just never know what someone else might do.
Awesome. And then the last ridiculous question. What do you think is one of the most ridiculous reasons as to why a small business has either told you that they don't need HR or that you've heard them tell someone else why? It just makes no sense for me to have HR. I just don't want it. I don't need it.
I guess there's one that you hear relatively often, because our people are really smart.
Huh. What does that mean exactly? I don't think I've ever heard that answer before. What does that mean?
I'm not sure I've heard it like verbalized in exactly that way, but I've definitely heard some variation of, you know, our people are really good, so we don't really need to have like a function that improves them, or that, you know, is in some way tasked with making them better or helping us perform better, because we're all really good and we're performing great, so we're fine.
Oh, not good in the sense of well-behaved, good, no people issues or employee issues, but good in the sense of great talent. And
yeah, they're just they couldn't,
interesting,
they couldn't be any better.
they're just the best in the world ever. every single employee is just the best. Wow, good luck to them. Good luck to them.
That's what I say.
Well, this has been both a fun and educational podcast episode. So, Charlie, thanks so much for being on the Employee Cycle Podcast. Woo! Charlie! Thank you. Of course. Yeah, we've been trying to put this together for a while now.
Yeah.
So, how can people find you and Grayscalable online?
Grayscalable.com. We are all there, and feel free to reach out. Charlie@Grayscalable.com is also a working email.
Awesome. We'll definitely be including that in the show notes. So for all of you people out there, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I know I did. Had a lot of fun talking to Charlie and hearing companies who just have the best people ever who could never be better. I mean, hey, apparently they're doing something that no one else is doing because no one else could be better.
My company's kind of like that, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, there we go. So maybe it was your company that said it. Awesome. So if you love this episode and you're having as much fun listening to it as Charlie and I are having talking about how awesome his company is, then please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you just listened to this episode because somehow you found it through one of the socials, or you know Charlie and are a big fan and you just had to listen to support him, but you also want to listen to more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcast player that you typically listen to or use. And you know what I'm about to say, but I have to say it every time because I really mean it, which is all you HR and people ops leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle Podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's LUXEpodcasts.com.